Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our radio broadcast this morning. We hope you'll listen in every Sunday morning at this time as we open up the pages of God's Word to answer your questions. We encourage you to write those questions to the Harrodsburg Church of Christ, 1369 127 U.S. Bypass, Harrodsburg, Kentucky, 40330. We will endeavor to open up the pages of God's Word and give you a Bible answer. We also encourage you to visit out our website, churchofchristatharrodsburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. We also encourage you to come and worship with us on this Lord's Day. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given our meeting times. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You'll always be warmly received. Our question today comes from the Sermon on the Mount. Questionnaire asks, please explain Matthew 7, 1-5, and is all judging forbidden? Well, let's begin by reading the text, Matthew 7, 1-5. Judge not that you be not judged. For what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Jesus is not teaching that one has to be perfect before he can correct the faults of others. If that would be so, no correction could ever be made, because man at his best is still simple, according to 1 John 1 and verse 8. Neither is the Savior forbidding us to decide as to the personal merit of those we would help. If so, how we could not obey the command given in the very next verse, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearl before swine, lest they trample under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. You cannot fulfill that requirement to reach a conclusion whether a person is a dog or a swine unless you make a judgment. Thus Christ aimed the question at the fault finder. He satirizes a sin by using the figure of a man who has a whole log in his eye attempting to extract a tiny speck from his neighbor's eye. With the log protruding from his own eye, he approaches his neighbor and says, pardon me, sir, but I detect a speck in your eye. May I help you remove it? This would be ridiculous. Jesus calls the fault finder a hypocrite. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam of you out of thine own eye, then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. His behavior is hypocritical for a number of reasons. Number one, he is nothing like it, as good as he thinks or pretends. His self-righteous eye has blinded him to his own faults. His vision is very abnormal. He sees his neighbor's mistake at a distance much better than he sees his own at close range. He needs some bifocals. This was the sin of the Pharisee who went up the temple to pray in Luke 18:10-14. He could easily see the speck in the poor publican's eye, but he was totally blind to the beam in his own eye. That beam was conceited opinion of himself, according to that text in verse 11 and 12. Perhaps the greatest fault is his inability to see his own fault. This reminds us of the man who said, I think I could see my own faults if I had any. The fault finder's action is motivated by the selfish and hypocritical desire to build himself up by tearing another person down. It is a critic's way of adding to by his own merit by way of contrast. This was the real motive of the Pharisee in comparing himself to the publican. He thought he would make his own light shine brighter. But really, think about it. No person could trim the wick nor shine the globe of his own lamp by trying to blow out another's light. Another hypocritical motive with some fault finders is to console a biting conscience they may have. When our sins gnaw at our conscience, we often seek comfort by saying, it grieves me the way that Jack is doing. I just would not have thought he would ever do it. This indirectly implies, I'm not as bad as he is. But this only gives a false sense of security, for our own sin cannot be whitewashed by the mistakes of another. The Bible states that making such comparison is unhealthy and unwise in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. The fault finder is often motivated by envy. Of all the sins, there is no vice meaner and more malicious than envy. It may be defined as discontent at the excellence or good fortune of another person. It is a feeling of a small caliber person which cannot stand for another to have that which he does not possess. Paul said it's the work of the flesh in Galatians 5:19-21. It's the rottenness of the bone, Solomon said in Proverbs 14:30. It is a malignant condition with each into the very bones and marrow of a man's character, destroying him rather than the object of his envy. It is a work of hate, according to 1 Corinthians 13:4. The envious fault finder destroys another's reputation without blessing himself. The fault finder really hurts himself more than he does anyone else. It is true that he injures his brother, but he inflicts the greatest injury upon himself. He blinds himself to his own faults. This is seen in the question for the study in Matthew 7:3. His chances for improvement are nil, for he sees no need of it since he has no faults. He has put out his eyes to the virtues of others. He cannot see the good in his brother because he's looking for evil. Such person found fault with Jesus not because of sin actually existed, but because they were seeking it, Matthew 9:11. The fault finder is never a fact finder. He has destroyed his own ability to discern between good and evil. On the contrary, Christians should have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil, Hebrews 5:14. To the fault finder, everything in the life of another is apt to be evil. The fault finder can have very few friends because his friendships are short-lived. He gradually picks his friends to pieces and one by one marks them off his list. Of course, when these friends see through the fault finder, they are glad to get off his list, for it is still true that with what measure you meet, it will be measured to you again. Wrong friendships are dangerous. Read Proverbs 22:24-25. The habit of mote hunting so ministers to the egotism that it makes repentance difficult, if even possible. He has so exalted himself over his ability to see the faults of others that it will be hard for him to humble himself enough to repent of his own sin. Such is the useless habit that can only feed his own wretchedness. Here's some rules that will help in overcoming the mote hunter. Remember that fault finding is a despicable pastime that requires nothing great, physically or mentally. It's no talent and no self-denial, no brains, no character are required to set up in the grumbling business. Becomes conscious of sinfulness of it and watch and pray against it that you might not be subjected to it. Make up your mind that you are going to look for the good instead of the evil in others, that you may magnify a brother's virtue and minimize his shortcomings. Put a small black spot in the middle of a white sheet of paper. Ask another what he sees. The chances are, you say, a black spot. He does not see all the white surrounding the black spot. How true it is of man. We are quick to see the black spots in the life of others, but we are slow to see all the whiteness that there is too. Look at self first is Jesus' command in this text. A look at self takes the joy out of criticism. There is so much good in the worst of us and so much bad in the best of us that it little behooves any of us to talk about the rest of us. That's a good quote. I want to also comment and look at the other side of this question. The other side says, is it wrong, therefore, to judge? Are Christians forbidden to judge? Well, the answer to that is no. What is forbidden in this text is hypocritical judging, not all judging. In John chapter 7, Jesus himself made this statement in John 7:24, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Let me give you an illustration of what I'm talking about. Paul made some judgment concerning the actions of the Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he judged that they were tolerating sin because they were not disciplining a man who had his father's wife. Read the first 11 verses of 1 Corinthians 5, and you will see he commanded them that they needed to discipline that man and remove him from their midst until he was willing to repent. How could that be done without someone rendering a judgment? We have another command in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 14 and 15. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. It also says in that same chapter in verse 6, but we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the traditions which you received from us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, how could this be carried out? How could we withdraw from a brother, or how could we not keep company with one without making a judgment concerning their conduct? We would have to make a judgment. Judgments have to be made in the act of discipline. But they must be righteous judgments. They must be based upon fact. They must be done out of love. And they must be done in order to bring that person to repentance. But judgment must be made. In Ephesians 5:11, we're told to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. How could we judge a person's works or evil without arriving at a judgment? We would have to make a judgment based upon God's word and upon the actions of the other person, whether or not we could have fellowship with that person. You see, there are certain situations where Christians must judge. Now, let me hit closer to home. Whenever we get into religious discussions with people we differ with, who teach differing doctrines and different teachings that they claim come from the Bible, whenever we point out that what they're teaching is erroneous and is not according to the truth, we'll often be hit with the statement, you can't judge me. Well, no, I can't judge them. I can't judge their motive because I can't read their heart, but I can judge their fruits. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus would go on and say, by their fruits you shall know them. I can know whether a tree is a good tree or a bad tree by the kind of fruit that it bears in the physical sense, and I can do that in a spiritual sense. If someone is teaching contrary to God's will, then I can judge that that is erroneous. That is false teaching. I can arrive at that judgment because it's a righteous judgment, because I base it upon the truth of God's word and upon the things that they might be teaching. Let me just give you one example. Many people tell us that baptism is not necessary to salvation, although Mark 16:16 and 1 Peter 3:21 says that it is, but there are many who teach that it is not. Can I arrive at a judgment that that is false doctrine, that that is false teaching, and that is teaching that's contrary to God's will? If I do that, have I violated Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 through 5? The answer to that is no. Why? Because I've made a righteous judgment. I made a judgment based upon the truth and upon the facts as they were presented. Here's what God's word says. Here's what this person is teaching and practicing. Therefore, I can make a righteous judgment. Yes, we can judge, but they must be righteous judgment based upon fact, done out of love, out of the motive to help, and out of the motive to bring a person to repentance. But hypocritical judging, God forbids that, and anyone that practices it will answer to God in the end. Can a Christian judge? Yes, if he makes righteous judgment, based upon truth, done out of love, and done to bring about repentance. Thank the questioner for his question. Tune in again next week, and we hope you'll come and worship with us today. Thank you for listening.